Life Audio.
The Ryan Reese Show from Southern California. This is The Ryan Reese Show. Post your questions using @RyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Are you ready?
All right. I'm excited about this show today because I have Jairus Hodges back in studio. I'm here. A lot of you guys have been following me on social media. I'm actually here on the grounds of Zeal School of Ministry. It's actually part of Calvary Chapel Fellowship here in St. Pete, Florida. It's an extension, 1 year school program that, got to be a part of with the Whosoever's, as in we, on our website. If you go to our homepage, we have a link and a video that will show you a trailer about the school. It's been going on for 3 years. This is session three. And, right now they're actually, probably working on taking applications for year four. It's an extensive application process because you guys want to make sure that you are called to ministry, right? You guys allow up to 10 people to come per year, which is amazing because it's very hands-on. It's exciting that all the students are not only excited, the ones that are here, but the ones that were here from last year, there's some still here serving and working with you guys, and other ones that I've come across have been planted in other churches or other places. So it's a very effective, amazing ministry. It's the Zeal School Ministry. You could tell me the .com again.
Zealschool.com.
Zealschool.com. Check it out. It's 1 year, 1 year of your life. And I'm telling you, what you'll learn here, you can apply these lessons to your life, to wherever you go. Maybe for whatever reason you come here and you're not called to full-time ministry in a church or something like that, but you are called to be an attorney, which is full-time ministry anyway, because you're going to be, using the things that you've learned. And also, we're called to minister wherever we're at. But there's a lot of people that get out of high school and they don't know what they're going to do, and they just sit around for a year and waste time. This is an amazing program to know your call. And I know this. In life, you want to know what God has for your life, the call. Like, that's the most important thing, because when you're activating, you're walking in that, your whole life changes. You have peace, you have purpose, and you know what you're supposed to be doing versus walking around this earth not knowing, am I in the right place at the right time? Is this what God's called for me? And you're just trying to figure it out as a touch and go, kind of walking in the dark, not really knowing. But here, you have time to seek God and for him to speak to you and show you the plans that he has for your life. It's an amazing thing. I mean, get down here, try it out, and you'll like it. It's going to be amazing. So with you, Jairus Hodges, you're also a pastor here, and you're in the process of transitioning to take over your dad's church here. So that's an amazing thing happening here in a few months.
Yeah.
A lot of crazy things. I've been traveling with you a long time. And we've been touring the world doing Whosoever's together. You're an ambassador. We've talked about starting this school. And now you're about to take over a church. Time flies. And you're married. Now the next thing is just going to be kids.
I got a fur kid, so that's a good start.
You got 10 kids right now.
That's true. I'm getting practice in. Lots of it.
Exactly. So, all right, man. Well, look, today I want to talk about a couple different things. We discussed this. How to keep it real. What does that mean? How to keep it real? How to keep it real and raw. Funny enough, I was listening to the K-Wave app today, and Greg Laurie was on, and how he was talking about how we can't talk Christianese to the culture. And this is something that we've been talking about for, many, many years, maybe like 16 years, is that we can't talk the language of the church to the person in the street because they don't understand it. It's like talking Chinese to them.
Right.
They have no idea. Greg was saying something along the lines of like, you can't walk up to a guy and be like, well, I know that you're a pagan and, you need to be, forgiven with the blood that was shed to be, brought into the body, into sanctified. One body and sanctified. And you're like, whoa, blood, into one body, what the?
Big words.
Whoa, what are you even talking about right now?
It's restoration, like, revelation, expectation, salvation, destination.
Yeah, like, whoa, chill. And I'm glad that you actually studied your Bible and you know this stuff. And this is amazing.
Right.
But you got to, when you look at Jesus, look what Jesus did.
Right.
He would give some spiritual truths, but then he was also talking to farmers. Mm-hmm. So then he would take it to the parables of the seeds. He's like, give them some spiritual truth. But then he's like, okay, hold on. Let me reel it back. Now let me tell you what it sounds like through a life application through the parable of seeds.
Yeah, he specifically says to you guys, you understand because the Spirit is revealing it to you. But to them, they don't understand. So we got to talk to them different. So he said the exact same thing.
Yeah. And Jesus is the model. So with that said, we're going to talk about keeping it real. Keeping it zeal is actually your guys' slogan.
Yep.
We're going to talk about the Christianese and unity in the church.
Yeah.
So let's just start off by talking about keeping it real. What does that look like to you?
Yeah, I think a great word that is helpful for that is integrity. Mm-hmm. Integrity is basically honesty. It's doing the best that you can, like genuinely doing the best you can. We talk about that a lot amongst the staff. Working at church and being an example and being a role model for people, like you're a leader, people look to you influence people. Mm-hmm. And so we take that seriously when God puts us in those positions. And there's a lot of danger, and a lot of fruit of this that we can see when you look at other businesses, other churches, and people don't keep it real. And this is a subject matter that's important for Christianity because we really should represent it more than anyone.
It's important.
Right. And but it's something that the secular world knows as well. Everybody knows, like, keep it real, you know. Christian and non-Christian rappers will rap about keeping it real, you know.
I want to add something about integrity as you go into this. I've heard, integrity is doing what's right even when no one's looking.
Yeah.
Like always, no matter what, like it's not just a show to do what's right in front of people, but behind closed doors, when no one's around, when no one's watching, because actually reality is we all know that God knows all things and he's watching. You're not hiding. You're not fooling God.
That's 100% it. Yeah. It's there's so many stories in the Bible, so many examples. You think when Jesus talked about the Christian practices that we should have, prayer and giving to the needy and fasting. He says, when you pray, lock yourself in the room and pray in secret. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. When you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Which, what does that mean? That means, like, you're so honest about doing it, you're not doing it for other people to be seen. Like, there's such integrity about, like, when something comes up and, hey, I'm going to do a good deed and help someone, I'm genuinely doing it to help them. And if I might be over here looking at this, but, like, my right hand is like, oh, you need that? And I'll do that. And I go back to doing something on my left hand. That's kind of what he's getting at with the analogy. Like you're so genuine about your desire to do good and to love people and represent me. You're not even thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And that only comes from a place of honesty. And what you're saying, a place of secrecy. He says the same thing with fasting. Like, when you fast, fast in a way that people don't know. And all of that goes to the principle of what you're saying. Integrity really is that. It's the test. Mm. The test of who I really am. Who really am I? And as a Christian, we have the answer. So that's why we have this expectation. We should be representations of integrity and keeping it real in our lives because we have our identity. I know who I am.
Why do we want integrity? We want integrity is because God honors it. He honors, because integrity, basically, when you really get down to the nitty gritty of it, it's holiness, right?
Yeah.
You're when you're walking with God, you're to be blameless. To be blameless. Mm-hmm. And God honors that. Like, if you're a Christian and you want to be used by God and you want God to speak to you and you want to be in that zone, like in that sweet spot, with him flowing through the Holy Spirit, not have anything disrupting your connection. It's through holiness, through integrity, and it's basically walking right.
Yeah.
With God.
Yeah.
Right.
And the test of that is, like you said, the secret life. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to keeping it real, and you really hit the nail on the head on the perfect way for us to kind of open up the discussion, the test of whether or not you keep it real as a person, especially as a Christian, is how you think about what other people think about you, and how you respond to what other people think about you. Man, your dad gave me some of the best advice. I grew up asking for advice from older men and pastors in my life. And at a conference, when I was peeing my pants because you came and sat next to me at breakfast. And I was like, oh my goodness, Ryan Reese. And your dad came and sat with us. And so I was like, that's the only conversation I've ever had with him, except for like passing through green rooms. I said, Pastor Rawl, you know, I'm a young man in ministry. What advice do you have for me? And right away he said, when people come to you and they say, oh, you're so good. Oh, you're so good. You're so. And he leans over to me and says, stay on your knees. Don't believe him.
Don't believe him.
Don't believe him. And that's just because he's a man of integrity. Yeah. And that principle comes from that how do you respond to how other people look at you and how other people treat you based on your life, what they say about you. I think it's a Psalm or a Proverbs. I don't got it in my head, but it basically says that you'll be tested by the praise of other men. You know, the test of your character is by the praise of other men. And are you thinking about it? And how are you thinking about it? You have integrity, you're not going to be thinking about it that much. And when you do think about it, you're going to think about it in balance. You're not going to trip, you know?
And that's what literally destroys people's lives is mm-hmm. when they start believing stuff. Another thing I heard about integrity is integrity is when you do what's right, even when it's difficult.
For sure.
So there's all these different sayings about integrity. And when you start believing what people say or you know, you've seen a lot of people in ministry that have, or even like just people that are doing really awesome in, you know, coming up in the world, doing things, start believing the hype, then that could like lead you into a false state. And that's where the enemy comes in and destroys you.
Yeah. And in the church, it mm-hmm. destroys not just you, but if you're in a leadership position, it destroys those around you. Mm-hmm. And so we see a lot of that. We see the temptation that everybody has mm-hmm. to be real or not be real mm-hmm. because I care more about what people think about me. That's the temptation. Mm-hmm. Do I really care more about what God thinks about me? So I'll be real even in the secret, or do I care more about what other people think mm-hmm. about me? I think it's Galatians 1:10. Am I trying to please God or please people? Yeah. If I was trying to please people, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. Mm-hmm. So that's put to the test when it comes to how you deal with other people and their praise for you. And if people fall into that temptation as leaders, then it destroys them and those underneath them. So mm-hmm. a lot of church hurt happens inside the church because people aren't keeping it real and they're focusing too much on what they think mm-hmm. they want people to see and what itching ears want to hear. And mm-hmm. especially pastors are classic examples because they're top of the totem pole in church. If they do a bad job of this, then people might come to the church because they want hype, but then it's not going to last. It's not going to bring real peace and bring real unity because the people at the top are not keeping it real. They're faking it. They're trying to be posers for other reasons other than honoring God.
Well, there was a documentary recently that we saw a lot of crazy stuff happening in leadership with a big mega church. From Australia, and a documentary came out, and that was a perfect example of a lot of hype. And you know, everyone always starts off well. You know, I mean, like these situations, everyone always starts off well in ministry. You know, they give their life to Christ, they're getting discipled, God's doing stuff, God's using them. Clearly, that's what leads them to the platform to where they're at. But then there's something that can happen in ministry. Or when you're being used by God, it's not just in the church. You could be doing ministry, street evangelism. You could be doing, you know, stuff within the action sports. I mean, it's anything. I mean, you could be in any environment. And then what happens is there's somehow a thing with integrity that starts slipping. The enemy comes in and starts bringing these subtle things into your life. And this is where the integrity gets wrecked, because you think, how did this guy just end up, or this girl just end up doing this?
Right.
Well, it wasn't like when he got into ministry, he didn't think he was going to be, you know, sleeping with someone in his congregation or someone stealing money from the church. Like you don't think about that stuff. That's not how it started.
Right.
But whatever it was, there was slowly something that enticed. Like there's a story of this guy that was stealing a bunch of money mm-hmm. From a church. And he was like he's like the number two guy there or something. He was the accountant guy. He's a Judas, if you will.
Right.
And it turns out the church could not come out. It was like barely making it every month, but people are tithing and there's like, we're like, what, why are we in this hole? Well, it turns out this guy was stealing, this is the '80s, a bunch of cash. Now, for whatever reason, this guy ended up, there was probably some subtle, he wasn't stealing from the beginning, but there was some subtle things that started happening, him being around money. And you know what? He probably started by taking a 20. Mm-hmm. Maybe
and
a
it
five.
Happened
maybe,
in the secret dude, life.
It could have been like, you know what? I don't got no cash. I'm going to take $5 right now. I'm going to go grab some McDonald's.
Yeah, go buy some munch. Yeah.
But dude, that door that is open in agreement to take money, in agreement to steal money, at the end of the day, it's stealing. That has opened the door. And then what happened from there? Or maybe he had some issues with payments, or maybe he just, maybe he had a lust for like, I want objects or I want things.
Right.
And he's like, there's all this cash. No one's going to know. And then the deception comes in and the integrity.
Right.
He's clearly obviously counting money and around money when he's not around people. Mm-hmm. So there's no integrity right there either.
That's what I'm saying. It's a secret life. You can hear it when you tell the story. You can hear everything we've been saying. It's in the secret life when that's put to the test.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, wisdom is always justified by her fruit.
Yeah.
And so it'll take time, but eventually, Deuteronomy, your sins will find you out.
So the integrity conversation, keeping it real, is to have integrity. Now, we were just talking about ministry and stuff. Now, let's talk about the personal, someone that's not in ministry, just an awesome or normal Christian person.
Normal Christian.
That's, you know, walking with God and all that.
Serving at the church, whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
And all ages. Why is integrity important? For instance, someone like a man, and this is a common story that I've had with people, that guys struggle with pornography. It's a thing, right? So I've had men that have come to me and they said they're struggling with pornography and they don't know what to do. They can't stop. So what do? I say, download, there's apps. Triple X Church used to have one. This is a long time ago. I don't know if they're still around or what, but there's other apps out there, I'm sure. That what happens is you put it on your phone and this guy goes, I want to stop porn. So he goes, I need integrity. Well, you clearly can't have people around you. And in those weak moments of porn, you guarantee you don't have anyone around you anyway, because you're at home or whatever, it's late night or however Satan comes in. But he has an app. And because he wants integrity, put the app on his phone, and that email will go to his wife or his best friend or pastor or whoever it be. If you want real integrity, hook up your wife or hook up your pastor or hook, you know, if you really want integrity.
Yeah.
And what happens is when they go to something on their phone, boom, it fires off an email. Mm-hmm. That's it. And there's your integrity. And if you really want it, and it's important, if you really want to stop, you have to have integrity.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
I just taught a few weeks ago. There was a principle that came from the scriptures that we were going through that said that responsibility, like we as Christians have responsibility, and responsibility is equal for all Christians qualitatively, but not quantitatively. And this is important for Christians to understand, because not everybody is going to be in a big leadership position and be given so much responsibility, but that's just how the game goes. God chooses who he gives what to. Mm. So the responsibility to all humans and all Christians will be judged accordingly. It's equal qualitatively. The quality of your integrity is equally as important, but the responsibility is not equal quantitatively. There might be more responsibility that God gives to someone or someone else, but that doesn't make anything less important when it comes to the responsibility you have. Mm-hmm. You have greater things to be responsible with. There's maybe more weight to the responsibility, but the judgment is going to be equal on a normal homie that's just a part of church, mm-hmm. or the pastor. The pastor might have more coming down on him, but that doesn't mean that you have less of a responsibility. Right. And so to your point, for anyone that's a Christian, we are a part of, if we can talk to Christianese, we are a part of what the Bible says is a body of Christ. Yeah. It describes us like a family. You're a family. So the importance is real, number one. Why? Because we are interacting with other humans, and every human is infinitely important, designed and created by God. So when I don't have integrity, it will affect the brothers and sisters around me. Mm-hmm. And if anybody in the church doesn't have that, then it destroys that part of the body. If it's the foot, the hand, whatever, like this group of people, and that, and the scripture says so much about this, you know, a little leaven leavens the whole batch, you know, like, so if there's someone that's not walking in integrity, mm-hmm. I just challenged my students with this yesterday. I was like, yo, someone's got something going on and it's affecting the whole vibe with everyone else. It's affecting your guys' unity. So that needs to be figured out. And scripture talks about this. That's why it's important, not just for the top dogs, but everyone, because it will affect those around you. So when you're in the body of Christ trying to love each other, you can't hide. Like you can't like be a poser and think that nothing's going to happen. Wisdom will be justified by its fruit. And if you're not walking and keeping it real, it's going to destroy people around you, the relationships around you.
And then with that said, integrity affecting if you are a, you know, working in business, that not having integrity, doing bad business deals, not telling half truths. I talked about this in a study recently, half truths, or you're working with doing business and they think they're coming to you because they trust you to complete the job and get it done. And you are not giving them the whole truth, or you're overcharging them, or whatever it be. It's the integrity, right? You reap what you sow also. So you want to have integrity in business. And then that's, you know, that's a major thing too, where people don't, I've done a lot of business with some of my, one of my other companies, and some of these people I was dealing with from like these other factories and stuff. It's like they're, you know, they were asking me, oh, well, just tell the client, it's a factory I was working with. Oh, just tell the client this and this. And I'm like point blank. I'm like, I don't lie. They're like, well, it's not a lie. It's like, you know, it's like a half truth. I'm like, I don't tell like half truths. I tell like the whole truth. Yeah. I'm not giving them like a piece of something, but integrity. And that really like kind of like set the tone for the place. And they're like, oh shoot, this guy doesn't mess around.
Yeah, he's legit.
And it's funny because he just came out naturally. I was like, I don't lie. And they're like, the whole phone, hey, whoa, no one's saying lie. It's a lie.
Exactly. And when I hear you talk about that, when I hear you describe like you are that person, I think that's a person I can trust.
Exactly.
And that's the way God thinks. Mm-hmm. When you are walking in integrity, you're actually keeping it real. You're honest. You're honest about the things in your life and the way that God's speaking to you. And in the secret place, you're actually trying to live for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so it will ooze out of you naturally in your regular life. Like when you're doing that, then God is like, all right, if you're faithful with the little in the secret place, I'll give you more because you will be faithful with much.
Right.
Would you ever expect God to entrust anything to you if you're not going to keep it real just with you and him? And how do you think that's not going to affect not only the people in the church, but to your point, the people outside of the church? How are you going to represent Jesus to the rest of the world? How are people going to learn about Jesus and his love for them? If you're not keeping it real, then I would never trust you with any kind of relationship. I'm not going to trust anything that comes out of your mouth if you try and tell me God's real. You totally shot the opportunity for people to see Jesus in you.
I want to reverse and highlight what you just said about how God talks about, you know, he'll give you some, and then if he can trust you with it, then he'll give you more. Mm-hmm. It's all integrity.
Yeah.
It goes back. People want more. They want to be used more. Everyone wants God to bless them at the end of the day, right? And whatever that even looks like, I mean, it could be as simple as like, you know, it could be a job, it could be financially, it could be a wife, it could be kids, it could be
all good things.
It could, huh?
All good things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it could be anything, and those are all good things. Like, it could. And what I'm saying is, it could be anything. Mm-hmm. God wants you. You want God to bless you, and this is awesome, and these are things that we could pray about, right? But. Or you're like, oh, God, I want you to use me, bless me so I can go do this. But he's like, dude, I give you stuff, but you don't do anything with it. Like, how can I give you more? Your integrity stinks. Like, you can't even do good with what I gave you.
Right.
You know, like, how do we expect God to do more in our life? It all comes down to integrity.
And it takes time integrity to be tested. The scripture just talks about this a lot. The suffering scriptures where it's like, don't be surprised when the fiery trials come, so that the testing of your faith can be proved genuine.
Your faith, yes.
That's what the scripture says. Yeah. So it can be proved genuine, which means God's going to take time and allow you to go through pressure and fire to test, are you genuine? In other words, that's like your integrity. That means God's going to test if you're going to keep
your
it real.
Integrity.
And you can't keep something real. If you're going to be real, you can't keep it real without time. Mm-hmm. That's what keeping it real means.
Yeah.
So God's going to give time in order to validate if you're going to be legit. So that could be encouraging, man. Like if you have these desires for good things and you don't have it yet, as long as you're walking in integrity, you can trust the Lord with it.
And God, I want to jump in on this because I don't want people to think for one second that you're like, wow, these guys just gave their life to God and that was it. And they just got integrity. No, it was a process. Yeah. I remember when I gave my life to Christ and I'm like, okay, I'm not drinking or doing drugs anymore. I'm gonna walk with God. But then I'm like, oh, but this girl that I've been hooking up with, you know, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to go sleep with her. I'm not going to do anything. But then this is when I first, you know, this is like when I first gave my life to Christ. Then I went down to her house and I was like, you know, trying to make a move, but she wouldn't make a move when I first gave my life to Jesus. And but my integrity wasn't there yet. I was a baby, brand new baby Christian.
Right.
But then later on, you know, like a couple months into my Christian walk, I'm like freshly saved. Like we're talking like a month saved or something. But that was the one thing. It's like, okay, I'm not smoking and drinking, but I'm like, I still like, you know, sex and, you know, all that. And, but my integrity wasn't there. So I went down to go visit and my intention was like, dude, I'm trying to hook it up. Like I'm not in ministry. But I gave my life to Jesus, but one step at a time here. You know what I mean?
You tried to justify that.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I'm justifying like one step at a time. Like I'm not smoking. Right. I'm not sleeping a bunch of girls. I got this just one girl, but she, you know, it was the work of the Holy Spirit, but she denied me. And then from that, I remember though, from that point on, I was convicted and I was like, that's not, So basically then that was it.
Yeah. Which is, it's
that never happened again.
That's a good thing to hear because it can help Christians understand, how do I know if I have integrity? One way to know is whether or not you are willing to compromise in a bad way. Are you compromising and trying to justify things? And if you're asking those questions to get away with something, even if it's a good thing, then that's a way that you can know. And, one thing that I've said a lot, and I actually learned this from going through a big church split, and I was really confused when the church split happened because so many people believed so many things that were wrong. And, you know, to the point of the subject matter here, I believe that if everybody was walking in integrity, then we would have been united. But they started believing things and convincing themselves otherwise, and that confused me because I was like, they're so sincere. Like, they're looking me dead in the face and telling me they believe these things, and I just know that's so dead wrong. How can you be so sincere and be wrong? And the Lord taught me, people can be sincere and yet be sincerely wrong. And so that there's two sides to that. One is integrity means you're going, like you said, every day. I'm always going back to the cross. Jesus said, pick up your cross daily and deny your flesh. If I'm doing that, then I know that I'll be safe. But the danger is if I don't do that, then I could convince myself of something that actually isn't good and isn't true because I'm not in integrity. I'm not walking in integrity because the cross is bringing me integrity. I'm convincing myself in my own mind, which means you could be sincere and yet be sincerely wrong. So if we have integrity, it must be the integrity that comes from the one that, you know, gives us everything. It has to come from Jesus, but that's how it works because you keep on going back to Jesus.
To justify yourself or to question, it's like, that's what Satan did in the garden.
Right.
Right. Did God say,
you know, little piece of truth?
Yeah. A little bit of truth.
Little lie.
Well,
little
touch. I guess I can do this, but you know what I mean? It's like you start questioning or justifying,
right?
You know, and that's the beginning. That's the beginning of the destruction and going into bad integrity. All right, we're going to be going to break in a minute here, but I do want to plug the whosoever's.com. Go to the website. We have products that support our mission. Our mission is the Great Commission. We tour all over the world. We did 77 schools last year, and this year we're looking at doing 140-something schools at this moment. So we're actually doubling. We got ambassadors in Mexico, Chile, L.A., Idaho, Florida, and we're invading the schools globally. So keep us in prayer. If you have a heart for high school ministry and middle school, that's where the battleground is. It's the bottom line. They're getting indoctrinated by the all the different agendas, the New World Order and all that stuff. But we're going in and we're giving them gospel. We're able to get into front of non-Christians that would never walk in church, and we're giving them a clear gospel message. And they're getting saved like crazy, and they're getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're plugging them into the Bible Club. But if that's your deal, you're down for what we're doing and you like the support, we would love for you to donate, and we're going to use that money to go into the public schools. We are not a church, but we are an outreach ministry to students that are depressed, suicidal, anxiety, and just jacked up, but they're getting saved and getting changed. I'll see you guys in 2 minutes right after the break. Peace.
More of The Ryan Reese Show coming up. Post your questions at Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, and...
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Facebook. What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in... Anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Now, back to the Ryan Reese Show.
All right. We were just in the first half talking about Keep It Real, Keep It Zeal with Jairus Hodges out of Calvary Chapel Fellowship in St. Pete, Florida. Also, the school of ministry that he has is Zeal. And what's interesting is Zeal started from, it's like a middle school, then there's a high school Zeal, and then you birth the school of ministry, which is for ages 18 to 23. Right? And it's a one-year program. Check it out. You can go to thewhosoever's.com or zealschool.com, and you will see all the details there. And it's an amazing program. And it's in beautiful St. Pete, Florida. And it's on the campus. It's like a compound here at the church. It's an amazing setup, a lot of young people, and just a really exciting, cool vibe to be a part of. So at the first half, Jairus, we were talking about keeping it real. We're talking about integrity, why it's so important, and how it can destroy you with these little things that the enemy, these subtle, what do you call them, these subtle distractions or these subtle compromises can lead into bad integrity. But then we also talked about God will work on our integrity as we give our life to Christ. And when we step out of line with integrity, the Holy Spirit will convict us. And then we say, no, we're not going to do that anymore. And then over time, you will see, you will start having integrity, just like I was in this gnarly business deal. And, you know, these guys asked me to tell a client a lie. It was a half truth. So it was a lie. It wasn't the truth. And I said, I don't lie. And the whole all the phone lines just shut down with four different people.
Pin drop silence.
Which is probably good for them. Then at least then they knew. I'm not going to lie to them. You know?
That's
they're
what
like,
I'm saying.
They're like, okay.
That's what I was saying.
He's
earlier.
Not going to lie.
They
but
can trust you.
They're like, it's not a lie. I'm like, well, it's not the truth. So it's not the truth. It's a lie. Anyway.
Calling you a truther.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's jump in. What else? You want to talk for this last half? I think we really went after it in the first half
there's
with,
a lot
with that
things,
subject.
There's a lot of things.
What about unity in the church? Did we talk about Christianese in the church? Yeah, we did.
Yeah, not too much. A little bit. There's a lot.
Let's go from Christianese to unity in the church.
Deal. Yeah, there's a lot to it.
What is Christianese?
All right. Christianese. It was funny. We should make a dictionary definition for this.
I wonder if it's up there. Let me see.
Christianese is just the common cultural terminology inside of Christianity. So it'd be like anything else. Any other group that you have, any other organization or community that you have, it's the inside language that you understand because you're a part of that community. So it's not a bad thing. And I think that's probably the first thing to say about Christianese. Everybody's got their own inside language. You know, friends and family's got inside jokes. It's kind of like that, where there's terminology that we use in order to describe things in our life as Christians and to talk about the Bible. And I would say to first understand it, Christianese by itself is not bad, but it's how we handle it from our heart and our integrity. And
I looked it up.
Yeah, let me see.
It says Christianese.
on Google.
refers to the contained term of jargon used with many of the branches of denominations of Christianity as a functional system of religious terminology.
There you go. So like I said, it's just a normal terminology that becomes common as you are in the Christian world, just like you would be in any other community. But it's not bad in and of itself. And I think that's where we start.
Yeah.
Actually, the Devil Wears Prada is a hardcore band, and they have this incredible quote from one of their songs in their old albums that says, when worded correctly, truth is never a cliche. Mm-hmm. Because things become cliche.
Yeah.
And I tell this to students and I teach them and I help them as they like lead things and do things. And then we kind of after action report and check out and talk about it. It's like, all right, let's evaluate what you said and why you said that. Cause a lot of times we will use Christianese or whatever it is in any other terminology to cover up awkwardness, and cover up integrity, honestly. So, like,
can you be an example?
Easy example is I'll be praying, and I'm leading the prayer, and let's say we got a whole circle of homies, and we're in the middle of a prayer sesh, and we're doing popcorn prayer. There's a Christianese term right there. Hey, let's popcorn pray. That's an easy example. Popcorn prayer means popcorn, so people will kind of like popcorn in a microwave.
Yeah.
You can randomly pray. It's organized, but it's one person at a time. So if you interrupt the other one, let the other person go, and one at a time.
Yeah.
So say then another example in that, it comes to me, And I start praying, Lord, I just thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. And I just thank you so much that you love us and that you died on the cross to pay for our sins. And Lord, just pray you'd go before us, Lord. Pray that you put a hedge of protection around us and as we go about our day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Mm-hmm. Pretty much everything I said in there is Christianese. Mm-hmm. Pretty much everything is common terminology that's repeated multiple times and can be considered cliche.
Right.
The issue is not that I said those things. The issue is that I'm not actually processing. And that's the test. And that's why I teach the students. You have to actually process what you're saying because that proves that you actually mean what you're saying. It's so easy just to throw out something that sounds really cool, but if you're not processing it, then you're just doing it. You're doing it for an alternate purpose. If I'm not genuinely processing what I'm saying, if I'm praying, for example, the only other purpose for what I would be saying would be to try and sound cool. Because like we established in the first half, I'm thinking about what other people think. Mm-hmm. And Jesus rebuked the religious elite for this. Mm-hmm. He said, don't be like them because they pray all these big prayers. Jesus said they pray really long prayers and use all these big words. And he didn't say that was bad, but he said, that's all they're doing because their heart's wrong. They do that to be heard and to be seen by people.
Yes.
So the test is, I'm going to process what I'm saying. If I say, thank you for your grace, mercy, and love, I better actually think about what grace is, that it's a free gift. And what am I thinking about? I better think about mercy. It's the withholding of things that I do deserve, but I'm not getting right now. And the love that comes from him dying on the cross for us and is eternal in all directions, and I can't fully fathom. There's so much in that. If you're going to say it, mean what you say. But it's much easier to just, I'm praying and I pause and I don't know what to say, and I don't want people to think that I'm like a loser Christian and I don't know what I'm doing or I don't know what I'm saying. I don't want them to think that I'm not cool or like I don't want that awkwardness, so I'll just throw out hedge of protection, Lord. Like, do you even know what a hedge is? Like, you know what I'm saying? You do that because so the test comes back to integrity. Do I care about what God thinks? Do I care about what people think more? If you care about what God thinks more, then even if you mess up, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I had someone in our Tuesday morning prayer meeting do this. I had a lady that runs our children's ministry,
yeah.
And she was praying. We were talking about love, and we got some prayer prompts given to us, you know, prompted me to give thanks about God's love.
Yeah.
So she's praying. She's saying, thank you for your love and blah, blah, blah. And then she says, you know, and just pray, Lord, that the love would be the center of us and everything we do. And she was like, well, no, like Jesus has got to be the center, you know, but we want love to be the foundation, like what we do, Lord. So she fixed herself in the middle of the prayer. I pulled the students aside afterwards and I said, Yvonne did a great job being a great example of being raw, being genuine, being real in the prayer. And those examples can go into anything in the church when you're talking about life, when you're interacting with people, when you're praying with and for people, when you're leading worship, when you're teaching a message.
Yeah.
I could throw out all kinds of things in a message just to sound cool.
Yeah.
But dude, when you start doing that, it first of all shows that you're not being genuine, and people smell that. Mm-hmm. And that's where the hype comes in. Mm-hmm. And the hype isn't satisfactory to the soul. There's no sustenance to it.
Yeah.
But the other thing is you start doing and saying things that are actually wrong. Saying things that are unbiblical. Mm. I had a student that was giving the Devo for our prayer this week, and they said about the love of God, they were talking about like bearing with one another, and they said like, oh, like bearing with one another is not loving each other, like really loving, and then he kept on talking about something else. In my head, I'm like, hold up, bearing with one another is love.
Right.
So afterwards, we were like, hey, slow down, process, and you said something that was very unbiblical, and that will confuse Christians and ultimately destroy people's mindsets.
Yeah,
and that's why it's really sketchy.
No, hey, let's talk about that. Yeah, when you're saying the wrong thing, you're trying to act, you know, you're trying to present yourself, you know, in a certain way, and you say the wrong thing, that can jack them up, the theology.
Big time.
That's a, you know, they say that all you have to do is change one word in the Bible and you have a cult, right? So you got to be very careful of the way you're praying and the things that you're saying, and be thoughtful, like you were saying, and not trying to look cool and just to pray. Don't just say a prayer, you know, like these short prayers, you know, like.
Or talking, dude.
You know, it's like, yeah.
You just talk with someone and they tell you, like, I mean, so many examples of this. Good to get into. I'll give another example that you would totally validate.
Okay.
You're hanging out with someone at church. Mm-hmm. You're talking before service, after service, talking about how your life is going. And someone's like, man, I'm really struggling. You know, this week is really, it's really tough, man. My mom, you know, she's got cancer. My brother, like left the faith, you know, and he's off doing drugs right now. And then this week on top of it, like I lost my job because I got cut, and like all these things stack up on someone's life, real things. These are real life things. Mm-hmm. And the other Christian doesn't know what to do, doesn't know what to say. And instead of acting in integrity and embracing the awkwardness of like, dude, I don't even know what to say. I just love you and I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Which is what the scripture says. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Instead, we trip out and think, I have to have something figured out. I have to be this like all wise and all knowing.
You have to
Christian.
Have the answer.
So you throw out something out of your butt that is totally jacked up. Yeah. You just say, dang, man, like you really need to read and pray. And man, just trust God. You know, like you really just need to trust God. And like, if you just throw that out there and say nothing else, man, people know if you're just trying to say that just because you're trying to like fix it. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to fix it in that situation.
Yeah.
It doesn't come from integrity. You're not thinking about that person. You're thinking about you.
Yeah.
And if you are thinking about that person, then even if you say, trust God, the way you say it, the things you say around it are going to be totally different. Even if I look at you and say like if I think about you, I'm going to think, you do need to trust God. My tone is going to be different, and the words that I sprinkle around that are going to be totally different because I'm thinking about you
instead
of me.
They're going to hear it. They're going to hear it.
And they're going to feel it. And then that's love.
Yeah.
Then you can embrace the awkwardness of like, I don't have all the answers. I don't know how to be like super Christian for this dude. I'm just like, I'm raw. This is raw. This is real. And that's what people need.
Yeah.
They don't need the hype.
No, 100%. And I've been in those situations too. You could definitely, you have the, you know, the peanut gallery, you're praying for someone or talking to someone and then they kind of just say their little thing. And you're like, dude, like, of course, like you're just saying stuff just to add stuff.
Yeah. That's annoying. There's no sustenance, really, no life, no zeal. You know, that's why our slogan is like that. There's no zeal is passion. There's no passion in life if you're not keeping it real. But if you do keep it real, the zeal is there. There's passion. There's
so
love.
Why is it important? Because we only have 13 minutes left. Why is it important for the unity in the church?
Well, those examples get into that. Yeah. It's good to have examples like that because it addresses real interactions with human beings as Christians and how the relational interaction can be starved or fed with genuine love, whether or not you're keeping it real, whether or not you have integrity. You're just trying to just please God with your life and think about other people, love Jesus, love people. If you don't do that, it will affect how you interact with other people. And if you interact with other people in a way that starves unity or feeds unity, there's only two options. Love is the only thing that feeds unity amongst any community.
Yeah.
So my integrity, me keeping it real is in my own life and just being honest about the way that I'm going to process life one second at a time is that's like the practical representation of loving someone.
Right.
I'm not going to think about me first. I'm going to think about you first, and I'm going to think about how I can serve you and process what's going on in your life instead of always thinking about myself or how it affects me or what I can say next.
Let me jump in here. And the only way you can actually do that is to have Christ in you.
Right.
Because to think about others, you know, I taught about this the other night, you know, Jesus says to love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The only way you could actually love your neighbor as yourself and to think that way is to have the mind of Christ. Because it doesn't come out naturally. It doesn't come out naturally. Like until I don't remember ever really wanting to go and help people until I became a Christian. You know, I was more like, hey, like more like I would help me and my friends. Like, hey, we're going to go out here. I got tickets for this music festival. I got us all set up. It's all dialed in. Yeah, we're going to go party and do that. But I didn't have the love of Christ in me where I'm like actually see someone that I could be coming out of a store or driving and you're like, I need to go pull over. I need to go give that guy some money or maybe walk up and just be like, hey, are you all right? Can I pray with you? You have the love, but you only have that love when you have Christ in you.
Right.
I mean, you might want to go out and do good. And there's people that go out and do good in the world. And they take their picture of them doing good. Like, hey, I'm feeding the poor. But like,
but time will tell.
Exactly.
Time
exactly.
Will tell.
You can go get your picture. Like they talk about missionaries that go out, you know, hey, we're taking the youth group over to Africa. They go, they take a picture with a kid and then they're like shopping.
Right.
But reality is when you have Christ in you and there's a genuine relationship with him, then you have the mind of Christ on. So the Holy Spirit is in you. He's working through and he's highlighting people and it comes naturally to have integrity and to want to love people and to be sensitive to what's actually happening in one's life.
Exactly that. And that's how people will know that you're legit. That Jesus said that. People will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. And the only practical way that happens correctly is if people are keeping it real and they receive Jesus. So if you're going to try and do this Christian community thing and love within the community, first of all, you got to be a Christian, like you're saying. That would be tested whether or not you love people. And then you got to start loving people. We talked about this.
And that's really quick. And that's what changes the whole atmosphere of the church.
100%.
Because this is the problem.
Which is the kind of church you should be a part of.
Yes.
Yeah.
So thinking about there's some churches that there's more of like a, and you know, if you're a Christian, you go to some different churches. We visit a lot of different churches. And there's some churches, I'm not saying necessarily churches that I've spoken, but churches that I've been at around, there's some churches that are like a scene. There's a lot of Instagrams of these guys that make fun of this Christianese scene of the church, and it's all like it's manufactured. Basically, everything that you're saying is you're saying don't be like it's a manufactured like things to say and not to say. It's
all about the hype.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So you could walk in these places, and when you're in there, it feels like a machine. It doesn't feel authentic. It doesn't feel real. There's not love because they're saying those words. You know, all right, guys, hey, everyone, we'll get together. We just pray in Jesus' name that you put a hedge of protections around us. You know, you say
really excited for what the Lord's going to do.
Yeah, we're just excited, Lord. You're going to do it. You're a winner. You know, and then all right, break. Let's go.
Right.
And it's like that's the way these churches can be. It's hype. There's no love. But then you're in a church that actually people love, and you walk in and you see, it's like, I remember Lacey saying that she was in church one time and the pastor was like, there's a suicidal spirit here. And you know, if that's you, come up, I want to pray for you. God loves you and he wants to be your father. And then she was going to exit this church, this little church, and this old man that was working the door, he just goes, hey, excuse me. And he looked at her and she just saw like love in his eyes. And he was just like, hey, listen, she's like, God, I don't know what you're going through, but God wants to be your father. And like God gave this guy a word for her, just spoke to her because like she was fatherless. She grew up fatherless. Yeah. And she just said she just saw love. And then he said that to her and she was leaving to go commit suicide at that moment. And she goes, and then he looks at her and goes, can I pray with you? And she's just, because of the love, she was just like, she knew she was going to commit suicide. And she was just like, yeah, you can pray with me.
Right.
And dude, she ended up giving her life to Christ.
That's what it's all
in that
about.
Moment. And that was love. It wasn't this hype.
You can't manufacture love.
All he said is God gave him a word in that moment. That's and it, she was dude. Going to exit. And
that's it.
God wants to be your father.
Because the love opened the door for him to do that.
Yeah.
It's you can't, if it's fake, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And people know that, man. Like when you walk in, you know if it's
this
love
is an
or
old
not.
Man. This is an old elder of a church. And she's probably 17, 18, right. Like dyed hair,
right.
Looking wild. Like he could have been like, oh, look at that kid. Mm-mm. But yet the love.
Mm-hmm.
And then now she's a huge musician, rock star. And bringing many hundreds of thousands to the Lord.
Yeah, dude, that's
because
what
of
happens.
That moment.
That's what happens, and you can't manufacture that. That's what people. A lot of people will buy into it because they like the hype because it makes them feel good for a little bit, but then it never lasts.
Mm-mm.
Dude, so many stories of people that will go from church to church because it just stays too shallow because there's not a rawness.
Yeah.
There's not an authenticity inside of it.
Too I was focused gonna say, it's on not the authentic.
Yeah, too focused on the hype about stuff. Mm. The hype is good. There's a place for it, but if that's the only thing you're doing, it's not raw. Mm. Raw will include everything.
How about hype and authenticity?
That's right.
That's the balance.
Which means I rejoice to those who rejoice and mourn to those who mourn. So we're going to party hard. We're going to have a dang good time.
Yeah.
We're going to throw down. I'm going to play some crazy music and have a great time and celebrate Jesus. And we're going to eat ice cream and do whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be right next to you when you are crying. And I'm going to cry with you. And I have no idea what the heck to do
exactly.
for you.
That's
all of that is all inclusive because that's what love is. And the only person that actually perfectly represents that is the Savior who gave himself
and
for us.
And the only way you can operate in that space and truly have love for people is to have the mind of Christ and have Christ in you through a relationship. And then, as you, would you say, it oozes out of you?
It oozes out.
It literally does because you're like, I remember I'd do something. I'd talk to someone, pray for someone, or God would just highlight someone in a parking lot or whatever. And when I first became a Christian, then I walk away and I'm like, why did I just do that?
Wait a minute.
I mean, I liked it. It was awesome. It felt good. But I'm like, I was kind of like, it was kind of like out of my character, like, well, that was interesting.
Right.
I liked being used. And I knew, I reflect like, okay, God used me in that moment. That was awesome. And it didn't have to be anything spectacular. It could just been like, hey, dude, like God loves you. And, you know, let me hook you up with $5 or hey, can I pray for you or what's going on? And they just talk to you and say, hey, I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to, you know, you should get plugged into a church or, you know, I know a church around here that you can contact. Here's the pastor's number. Like just something as simple as that. You know,
for
it's
sure.
not like I close the deal and let them to the Lord or whatever, you know, that has happened too, but it's not like, it doesn't have to be these big moments, but God uses you in these times, maybe just to encourage someone.
Yeah.
But that only comes, it has to, like you said, has to ooze out of you. It's just naturally.
And it lasts. There's an incredible Proverbs that says, I think it's maybe Proverbs 17. It's incredible. what people desire is unfailing love. An incredible, I didn't see it for years until like last year I went through it. And it's the one true love. There's only one true love. It comes from God through Jesus. We only receive it by receiving Jesus. And then because we have Jesus, we spread that love and it lasts through anything because love is the greatest power and the greatest good from God himself. God is love, you know, 1 John 4. And so it overpowers even the worst. And so, you know, back to church unity, the reason that we are united in this love as Christians, if we're doing it properly, if we're actually loving each other, actually keeping it real mm-hmm. with one another, in the highs and lows, and the good, the bad, the ugly, even when the bad and the ugly comes, we're still going to make it to the other side. Even when a dispute happens between us, when something sketchy happens, or you might not be my best friend that I hang out with all the time, but you're still my brother, you're still my sister, you annoy the snot out of me for some reason, we're going to get through it, we're going to deal with it the way the scripture tells us to, and we're going to make it to the other side. That's what brings the unity. The real test of unity is not that you're there for the hype, but the other parts of the hype, or the other parts instead of the hype, that when the bad is there and the good is there, it doesn't matter whether it's bad or good. It's all about Jesus, and that's going to keep us strong. We're connected to a love that's more powerful than anything else, and it's enough to keep us united, and it only works, like you're saying, from Jesus, by and through and for Jesus, and a relationship with Jesus is what feeds it, and that just, that makes sense, because to keep it real, as we said in the beginning, it comes down to how we deal with what other people think about us. Do we care about that more, or do we care about what God thinks about us? If you care about what God does, then he is the top. He's the most important. He's what you worship. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense in a relationship. We have a relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. So the time I spend with him actually means the most to me, and his opinion about me and what I do means the most to me. Mm-hmm. Then, my dad has a great quote that he got a while ago. Then, you take care of your character, and God will take care of your reputation. Because you don't really give two snots about your reputation. Mm-hmm. Paul said, like, I care very little about what you say about me or what I even say about myself. He's like, Jesus is the one that's my judge, my God, and he's who I have a relationship with. So it doesn't mean I don't care at all about what people think, but it puts it in a proper place. And it balances it out. So I can take care of my character with me and Jesus. God will take care of my reputation, and I will keep it real at all times.
And if you have a good character with Jesus and a good relationship with Jesus, then what people are going to say about you should be good. You'll be at peace with your enemies, for the Bible says. And for the unless they just don't like God, you know, and they don't like doing
your
good.
Side, though, if your side will be at peace.
Yeah.
Because you did your thing.
Exactly. Right. So that is the way to do it. So we're going to wrap up their show. I have Jairus Hodges in studio from Calvary Chapel Fellowship in St. Pete, Florida. You are transitioning to take over the church here. God's blessing it. You got three services. You got a Saturday service Saturday night, and then two Sunday mornings. You got a Wednesday night, and tons of stuff happening. Young adults, we were here last night. You have the Zeal School of Ministry happening here. A limited one-year program of 10 students. Just an amazing, awesome school. Zealschool.com. You could check it out. .com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, .com. The whosoevers.com. You could go there and check us out as we book tours globally to the schools. I preach in a lot of different churches on Sunday mornings. We have the show. Go to YouTube. Jairus is also an ambassador with the Whosoevers as well on our Great Commission globally, as we have different people in all different churches, different Calvary chapels all around the world, and they're placed in different locations. So keep us in prayer. Work on your character. Work on your relationship with God, and he will fight for you.
Keep it real. Keep it zeal.
This has been The Ryan Reese Show. To connect and find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for The Ryan Reese Show.
Ted, what do you want to do today?
Well, Ashley, I've always got work to do, naps to take, but I have a better idea. How about we invite everyone to listen to the TMUS podcast?
I love that idea. Let's do it right now. Hi, everyone. We're Ted and Ashley Slater, and we'd love for you to join us as we talk about teamwork in marriage.
We share how grace, commitment, and cooperation can help couples live the everyday moments of marriage together.
To listen, go to lifeaudio.com and search for Team Us.